thought for today. Immortality is how many lives we have touched. Immortality is how many lives we have touched. Immortality is how many lives we have touched. Now don't jump ahead of me here. It's so easy to jump ahead of me. And when you jump ahead of me, you'll be surprised what you're missing. How many lives have you touched? That's what you think. We live in dimensions upon dimensions upon dimensions. And if you will, we can call these lives. We are living, as you say, in only one life. That is true. But we are living on dimensions, within dimensions, within dimensions. We're living on many dimensions now. Immortality is how many lives we have touched, how many dimensions we have touched, how many areas of expression that we have touched. Now, we can go through life and have a great time. We can go through life and experience many wonderful, beautiful things. We can live on an infinite number of dimensions. Or we could go through life and be one. We could go through life and live on all dimensions at the same instant, which is what we really do, and to be aware that we live on all dimensions at the same time, to be aware that we are one. And then immortality is how many lives we have touched. How many lives have we touched? We say there's only one life, and yet we think each dimension is a life. How many lifetimes have you lived? How many reincarnations have you had? How many, as you go back into your previous lives and your previous experiences? Oh my goodness, do we have fun, right, love? Do we have fun with that? We love to go back into past lives. Oh, what a great experience that is. I don't mean to belittle it, and you'll see that I'm not belittling it in a minute, but what great experiences we have in going back into our past lives. Oh my goodness, wasn't it wonderful? Now, love, hey, love, yes, you. He stopped scratching for a moment, looked at me, and then went back to scratching. Love, what were you in a previous life? Were you always a dog? Love, you're not paying attention to it. Oh yes, a big yawn. He says, I live all my lives at once. He said, there are no previous dimensions, there are no previous. I am all. Now, let me reemphasize this. It's easy to say there's only one. It's easy to say that I'm that one. It's easy to say these things. But do you believe them? And the answer is no. You think you are living in many dimensions. You think you are living on many lifetimes and all that sort of thing. This is normal. It's normal. We teach that to ourselves, and even here, we say things that allude to that possibility. But if there's only one, if all time is right here and now, all space is right here and now, if we believe that, then there are no other dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. There is no other time. There is no other lifetime. Oh my goodness, how could I have been Marie Antoinette? How could I have been King Henry VIII? How could I have been any one of these things? How could I have been a slave? How could I have been whatever? You know, how could I have been anything? How could you have been anything? How could I have been a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, whoever, you know? How could I do that? This is because we bind ourselves into the verbiage of relative thinking. You can only do one thing at a time. Just a minute, just a minute, don't all come at me for an answer at once. I can only do one thing at a time. Isn't that what we say? We say that so often. We run away from the truth. We know all things. Right now, we know all things. Right now, we know everything that we have ever created. Now, we make a statement. There is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new that's going to be created. Everything that ever did exist, will exist, exists right at this very instant. We make this statement. It's kind of a bold, foolish statement to make because, you know, we don't really believe it. We believe there is a past and a present and a future. Our language is dedicated on that. Past tense, present tense, future tense, you know. And we have all sorts of fun with it. All sorts of fun. Every language. Oh, they love to do that. Now, that's the only logical thing to do. A minute ago and a minute to come are different than the minute right now. A second ago and a second to come is different from the second right now. You see, if you really go into the logic of this, you'll come to the understanding that it has to be all time is now, all space is now. Because if I'm thinking of the past or thinking of the future, I'm thinking of it now. And it didn't exist in the past and didn't exist in the future, it exists now. Anything exists that has existence exists now. There is no past or future or even present. See, the now doesn't allow for the present. You say, well, the present is the now. No, because if you're thinking of the present, then it's already past. And what are you going to do in a minute from now? Well, already it's past. Okay. Immortality is how many lives we have touched. When we know we are all, when we know all space and all time is right here, when we know that every possibility in our relative universe, you can understand it in the absolute, of course, but every possibility in our relative universe already exists, already is. It's not a to be, it's not was, but it is right now. And you are living in that awareness. That's why I say to you, no matter what you say, I know that I know that I know God and He knows the answer. I know that I know. The answer is in me. The answer is in all of us. None of us have anything more than anybody else. The other thing, I'm a woman and Herb, you're a man. We're different. Well, that's just the way you're expressing yourself right now. If you were to express your allness, you'd be neither woman nor man. You'd be all. If I were expressing my allness, I wouldn't be coming forth as a man. I would be all. Now, what does all look like? All doesn't look like anything. It cannot look like anything because it's everything. Now, these charming phrases, these didactic, syllogistic ideas that boggle our mind and throw us into panic gear are not really that way. I think today you were given a very special gift, each of you, if you were awake. You were given a very special gift. You were given a presentation by an innocent mind of what it means to take a nap. And really, that's what we would all love to do. We would all love to take a nap the way she does. Just pop into our divine reality and have a ball. You know, there's no right or wrong about it. And even in popping into her divine reality and she's out of her body, she's peeking around the corner. If she chose, she'd walk right through the wall because there's no substance to her. But she continually wraps herself back up in her relative thinking, even in her unrelative being. And this is what we do. If she, in her great innocence in doing this, still harbors her human relative attitudes, we've got work to do. We've got work to do in letting go. If she creates this ceiling with the moving water, the walls which have no substance to them. If she creates all these things, there's nothing new about it. They do exist. Department stores use the blanket of air to keep the cold out and the warm in, and the air conditioning in and the warm out. So they do this, and your ceiling idea, it's just a concept, and it does exist somewhere, or else you couldn't have thought it. And so now it's just a matter of manifesting it in your world if that charms you. But I don't think it charms you. I think you are charmed by all the possibilities of awareness that you have within you, and you go from one awareness to another awareness in delight, you know, and say, wow, isn't this neat? And you don't have to have it, because you know it already exists. And see, this is what her taking the nap did. It just moved her from one level of awareness to a greater level of awareness. Now, each of us can do this. Most of you, let's say most of us, but it's most of you, when you take a nap, you say, I am tired, I want to have a pause, I want to relax, I want to go to sleep, I want to wake up refreshed. And poof, there's nothing tired about us. There's nothing that needs to wake up refreshed about us. There's only something that needs to be aware of that divinity within us. I teach you the out-of-body experiences over the years, again and again and again. I give them to you in seminars. And in the seminars, oh, wonderful, oh, how thrilling, oh, how great. Where did you go? Oh, I went here and there. And you make up lots of good stories. Some of them you really did, but many of them you make up, because you want to be like everybody else. So instead of just letting go and just closing down, and just flowing with whatever comes, you think you have to do something creative. Now, do you think that Anita was trying to think of something creative so she could write it in her book and perhaps tell us later about it? No. She just let go. She just let go and let it happen. Now, she might say, ha ha, Herb, I fooled you. I created that. I made that up in my own mind. I just did this to see if I could pull your chain a little bit, you know, and see if I could go right ahead. But love, it came from somewhere, from the divine within you. That whether you got it because you wanted to fool me, or whether you got it because it really happened to you, it came. You understand me? It came. Now, whatever motivation we have to give ourselves to do things, we should do it. Now, we have our friends in Africa. They write us in 1985 saying they want to take the courses. And then, instead of taking our courses, they take everybody else's courses in the land. And they take these courses and they do these things. And these courses are all beautiful, leading them into a structural organization in which they become big wheels and big names and big titles. But they feel empty inside. If they had stayed with us in the beginning, that emptiness would no longer be there. But the thing is, they didn't do it because their real desire was for fame and fortune, for notoriety, for immortality of the number of lives they had physically touched. And so, they come back, and when they come back, they say, I would like to take your course. I have done all this work now, so I don't need the lower level of course. I just want to go right on into it. We say, that's fine. We don't have any lower level of course. All of our courses are upper level. All of our courses, we may put titles on them that indicate they might be a different level, but they're all upper level courses, all for only the highest consciousness. And each person who takes these courses, they fight it, because it doesn't seem realistic for them that they should have these wonderful experiences. It doesn't seem realistic that Anita should just take a nap and go off into an out-of-body journey without even working on it, without even wanting it. It just came. And then she says, well, as long as it's here, I'll enjoy it, you know. And that's great. But you see, when you tune in to your divine self, when you, every day, say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I am God, God I am, I'm God, God. When you say those things, you don't know how you are touching your immortality. You don't know how you are awakening yourself to the divinity within you. You say, I like me, I'm God. That's just words, just words. I hate me, I hate me, I hate me, I don't like me. Those are just words too. They do terrible things, don't they? I like me, I like me, I like me. There's wonderful things. You make the choice. I'm sick. I have to do this. I have to do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, you can't. But the minute you say, I can. I am laying here in bed because the doctor says lay in bed. I don't need to be here. I'm whole and perfect. Keep it up. But I follow the doctor's orders. I went to the doctor and let him work on me. I'm going to follow his orders. So I stay in bed. See? I don't need to be in bed. I feel alive and work. But you stay in bed because you're giving the doctor's opinion a chance to manifest. You went to the doctor. The doctor says it's going to take you a day or two to heal up. So give it the time. Cooperate with the doctor. Do it. Now, if you go to your own inner doctor, and your own inner doctor says, hey, you're okay, there's nothing more that needs to be done, then do that. But believe it. Believe it. Follow it. And as you believe it and follow it, then what happens? Then all things that are right and orderly and perfect for you, that's what takes place. But they cannot take place if you don't follow your doctor. Now, what does your doctor say? What does your doctor say about your life? That's you. Do you say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body? My body is the temple of the living spirit. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. I am living in the temple of the living God, the temple of the living God, the temple of the living God, the temple. This is the temple. Could anything ever go wrong with a temple? It's a temple like in life and teachings, not made by hands. And certainly this temple is not made by hands. This temple is made by the divine pattern. This temple is fantastic. Now, what are you ready for? Where is your immortality? Your immortality is inside, not outside. But it can be outside too. Because outside is as much inside as outside. Because if you start saying the outside is not the inside and the inside is not the outside, then you're saying that there's something that isn't divine, that there's something that isn't God. If you're saying that the bad things in the world are not God and the good things are God, then you're saying that something is not God. And you're saying that God is all and God is the only and God is the ever, and then you're saying that there's something that's not God. You can't do that. Your mind won't let you do that. That is not acceptable in your thinking system. You understand? Your thinking system will fight you all the way. In fact, your thinking system will fight you when you say, I like me. Because your thinking system knows that you do stupid things. You take your hand and you use it as a hammer, you know. You take your head and use it as a hammer. You tell yourself that you're tired, you're sick, you're poor, you're empty, you're lonely. You tell yourself these things, and your body and your experience says, okay. And they say it's okay because, you know, you tell it in such a dramatic way. I'm so sick, I'm just looking at my body, I'm just filled with all this old crazy stuff. And then, just imagine, if you were to go through the ward of a hospital, and you were to sing all day long, I live in my temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is perfect, my body is perfect, my body is perfect. I live in my eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body. And then at first, the people in the wards would say, posh, 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 you know. And then day after day, you'd be singing these things and saying these things. And as you sing these things and say these things, it begins to sink in to your consciousness. And then pretty soon, people in the Word stop acting sick and start acting whole. And pretty soon, the doctors start thinking wholeness instead of thinking, well, how is my patient today? And the doctor goes in the Word and says, well, my friend, you look wonderful. But doctor, you just told me yesterday I'm on my deathbed. Yeah, that's yesterday. You changed your mind. So now you're on your health bed. I go along with whatever you like. What attitude do you have about it? Well, my husband did this, my wife did this, my family did this, everything's going to pot. I won't do that with you anymore. Well, instead of doing that, why don't you say, my husband is the most magnificent man in the world. My wife is the most delightful being that ever walked the face of the earth. My children are a joy to behold. And da 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 da. Just keep saying it. But that's not true. That's lying. That's right. Lie. Lie the truth. Lie the truth. And pretty soon the truth will overcome the illusion that had been there before. If you want to say, life is an illusion. Truth is reality, but what is truth? Truth is whatever you name it. I'm sick, that's the truth. I'm well, that's the truth. Whatever you want to name it. You see, our immortality depends on how many lives we have touched, you know. How many lives have you touched? How many experiences have you touched? How many times have you said to yourself, I'm whole and perfect? How many times have you said, I am God, God I am? How many times have you said, I like me? How many times have you looked at a circumstance and that was rather difficult to look at and said to yourself, oh dear, that is terrible. Or have you said to yourself, hey, that's fantastic. They made a choice to have that, now I make a choice to have the other. They made a choice to have a broken leg, I made a choice to have a whole leg. They can have their choice at a broken leg. That's divine. That's an expression. But that doesn't have to be. And he's not in my world. Now, we get to the real point of our thinking this morning. If you have a hard time in life, it is your choice. If you have a hard time in life, it is your choice, and hey, that's okay. If you ever think anybody should be sorry for you at any time, I would desire to see that nobody gives you the time of day. Nobody pays any attention to you. If you think you are unhappy, and you want people to recognize that you're unhappy, I would see you in a world where there are no people. Because nobody can recognize you as unhappy except yourself. You see, we bring every good, or every, what we call not so good, experience in our life. And we bring it for one reason. Just one reason. It's part of the game we're playing. Now, why do you want to replay a certain game over and over again? Why do you want to replay a certain experience over and over again? That's your choice. It's up to you. Do you want to have a great experience, a great life, a great fulfillment? It's up to you. I don't care one little bit. I cannot. About you, or your life, or your experience, or your spiritual growth. I do not care one little bit. Because that is your outward expression. I know each one of you are an illumined master right now. I know that. So don't go trying to give me a hard time. I know that. And you try to play your little game that you're not an illumined master. You're so silly. I mean, I can see right through it. You're just trying to play a game. It's like you're being on stage and you're pretending you're somebody that you're not. I know that you're an Illumined Master, so it doesn't touch me at all when you play a game pretending you're not. Now, why don't you know that too? You know that too. You don't have to play that game. Wouldn't it be much more exciting to play the game of being an Illumined Master all the time? Really, just in whatever you know about an Illumined Master at the moment, wouldn't that be much more exciting than to play an unillumined master? Why anyone would choose to be unillumined, I cannot imagine. But anyhow, why would anyone choose to be sick? Why not? Look, why would the medical doctors of this world like to be around people who need their help as a medical doctor? Why would anyone want to be a minister and listen to the problems that people have? Ooh! Why wouldn't everyone want to be a minister and listen to the joys that people have? Well, what wonderful things happened to you today? What glorious things happened in your life? Tell me all about it. I'm just dying to hear it. I'm just delighted to hear it. You see, what a minister that would be. You go into people's homes and you visit with them. Well, what glorious things happened to you today? But you know what the minister says? I like garbage. Now, what happened to you? The psychiatrist, you know. What happened to you? What ugly thing took place in your life today? What thing are you going to blame on somebody else that happened in your life that you created by your own thought? I love that. Woof, woof. But that's what people do who probe into other people's lives. If the psychiatrist, if the psychologist, if the minister, if the counselor, if everyone in that field, not counting practitioners because they don't get in that field, if everybody who chose to go into someone's world where they were having a problem would say to those people, well, how's my genius son doing? And then the husband comes in, how's my genius son doing? And then the teacher says, I better take another look at that kid. Maybe I'm missing something. And he did. The kid turned out as a genius. Okay, now, when we counsel with someone, how is your genius world going? How is everything that you put into motion happening in your life? Is everything going along as beautiful as you want? You want me to work with you on putting some new causes in motion to demonstrate wholeness and happiness and joy in your life? Wow! Could you do that? Could you be that kind of a counselor, a minister, a psychiatrist, a teacher? That's what we're teaching here. People come to us with their problems. We say, hey, what solution do you want? Is that cold? No. That's as loving and warm as you could be. The cold part is when you go with them, you talk about their problems, you listen to their garbage. That's cold. That really is cold. That's not loving at all. My God, that's not loving. The loving one is where you say, come on now. The loving mother kisses the room and says, go and play. She didn't say, oh my God, you're going to... That's not a loving mother who says, oh my God, you're going to get, you know what I mean? That's not a loving mother. That's a panicky mother. That's a pain in the neck mother. That's a mother that's going to raise children that are going to have a lot of sicknesses and problems. But the mother said, go play. Oh well. That kid's going to grow up dynamite. That mother's going to grow up dynamite. That world is going to grow up fabulous. Yeah, how about that? Like I told you, when I teach these things and share these things with you, you don't always like it. Because there's no time for sadness. There's no time for feeling sorry for yourself. There's only time for putting another cause in motion of what you want to happen in your life. Now, what do you want to happen in your life? That's up to you. you're playing your particular game, but it's a happy game. And I'm playing my happy game, and everybody's playing their happy game, go for it. But if you want to play the sad game, the tragedian, then you go right ahead. Because there will be a lot of other tragedians in this world who will love being in your game of tragedy. Immortality is how many lives we have touched, and there's only one to touch. Wonderful, isn't it? We're fantastic. I love you.